Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, everybody. Beautiful story, isn't it? And if you're going through a scary health diagnosis, I pray that Vanya's words have just put some faith and some hope into your spirit, you know? Good morning, Edenvale. Are you all alive? Good morning, Boxburg. Are you all alive? Yeah. Good morning, Springs. You see how it works. And then you go, good morning, Brakpan. There you go. Yeah, you see. Springs, if you could just up your game, please. You ready for the word this morning? Can we stand to our feet and let's get prepared for it? We are in a series called Atmospheres, or the power of atmosphere and the power of atmospheres in our lives. And Kulu kicked it off. I kicked it off in the first week. Kulu continued it brilliantly last week. If you missed either of those messages, I want to encourage you to grab them on our YouTube channel so that you can kind of build up a little bit of the momentum of the series. Let's pray together and ask God to speak to us. Amen. Father, we came into this place today, not out of ritual, not out of tradition. We came because we can meet with the God who loves us, the God who lives within us, the God whose spirit is present and active in us, the one who speaks to us. We pray today that as a church, you would strengthen us. As individuals, you would build something profoundly important into our lives this morning, that as we receive your word, we'd receive it well, that the seed would go into good soil, that what is said would not just be information, but that it would be an impartation into our spirits. That truly we would not live life quite the same as what we came in. That there'd be something that you have put on the radar of our lives, a hunger and a desire to take what's placed into us today through your word, and for us to begin to live by it. As James said, not simply to be hearers, but doers, that there would be a change in the way we speak as a result of today. And because of that, there'd be a change in the atmosphere of our lives, and ultimately a change in the future of our lives because of what we've received today. And we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thanks, everybody. Please have a seat. And as you do so, just tell the person next to you, I love your atmosphere. How many of you like fragrances? Anybody like fragrances? Quite a few guys putting their hands up as well. Interesting. We have been talking over this series about the fact that atmospheres are powerful, and we've all experienced great atmospheres. If you were at Ellis Park yesterday when the box downed the All Blacks, how many of you would have agreed that it would have been a great? If we had lost the game in the last minute, you would have had 15 All Blacks running around the field thinking they're heroes, and 90,000 South Africans subdued. How many of you know the atmosphere would have been very different? We've all experienced great atmospheres, whether it's at a sporting event, a concert, a great restaurant with a great atmosphere, a fantastic location. We've all experienced the atmosphere in church. We've all experienced the atmosphere at Encounter. We will all be experiencing the atmosphere at Ignite coming up this week, right? And we've also experienced negative atmospheres, haven't we? A tense atmosphere, or a defeated atmosphere, or a difficult atmosphere. The point is that atmospheres are powerful. Quick reminder, it'll be on the screen. An atmosphere, what is it? What is it? It's so important. An atmosphere is the pervading mood or tone of a place. In short, it's how the place feels. It's what you sense. God created atmosphere. And he did so when he created our world, he created atmosphere. And this is the profound truth that I hope each one of us will receive really, really into us today. God created atmosphere with his words. Let there be light. Genesis 1 verse 3. And there was light. What we say and what we speak comes to pass. There's the thought. God created atmosphere with his words, and so do we. We create atmospheres in our marriages. We create atmospheres in our parenting. We create atmospheres in our workplaces. All through what? Through the words that we speak. We create atmosphere with our words. So it'll be on the screen. Here's a thought. This is really the title for today. You and I, we live in the atmosphere of our words. Why? Because words create worlds. They really do. God says, let there be light, land, sea, sun, and there is. And we, as his people, are able to create things with our lips. We live in the atmosphere of our own words and in others' words. Are you with me? 1 Samuel chapter 7, the account of David and Goliath. I mean, even if you barely ever went to any kind of church, everybody's at some stage heard of David and Goliath, right? Check out the impact of words, though, in the context of. So I want to ask you not to switch off because it's David and Goliath, and it's like, I know the story. But I want to ask you, would you receive something today paying special attention to the power and the role of words in this account? 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8 to 11. So Goliath stood and shouted. Everybody say shouted.
Shouted.
And he shouted what? A taunt. How many of you would agree those are words, right? A taunt is words, aren't they? He shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to a fight? He called, I'm the Philistine champion, but you're only the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down here and fight me. Notice the words. They're challenging words. They're mocking words. They're taunting words. If he kills me, then we'll be your slaves. But if I kill him, you'll be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. And when Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Down to verse 16. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. The point that I hope to make today is that Israel's army was living in the atmosphere of Goliath's words. Namely, the Philistines' negative words and their curses. Goliath, though, had been very strategic, church. First thing in the morning and kind of last thing at the end of the day, he's like, kind of let me bookend your day with some taunts. Let me bookend your day with some negative words. Let me start the atmosphere of your day and let me end the atmosphere of your day with some negative words over you. Very strategic, isn't he? His words had created an atmosphere of fear. And these words are what Israel had taken into themselves. They had assimilated those words into their spirits. And it had created their world. Remember the comment? Words create worlds. Well, Goliath's words had created a world of fear for Israel. Words create worlds. But this is where the tale gets twisted. David arrives on the scene, and he had not been in that atmosphere. He had come to visit, to bring some KFC and some Nando's. And David was Mr. Delivery on a little Take-A-Lot bike, you know. Has anybody seen those Take-A-Lot dudes, those Mr. D guys? Those dudes have the shortest life expectancy on the planet. Hey, have you noticed how bad those guys drive? Like, I on average, I genuinely almost kill three a day. Three a day. On a serious note, do you know that those guys cannot get life insurance? Do you know that? Nobody is prepared to insure those dudes. And for good reason. Anyway, How did I go? Oh, David, KFC, Nando's, Mr. Okay, there we go. Okay. So David arrives to the army, to his brothers, to bring food from his dad, Jesse, to the army. David had not been in the same atmosphere as Israel. So he pulls in on the scene, parks his little delivery van, and he replies to the Philistine, 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 47. He goes, you come to me with sword. I mean, I'm fast forwarding, right? So there's a whole bunch of stuff. But the point is, he goes, you come to me with sword, spear, javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. And then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us. Remember the statement, words create your words, my words create worlds. The words we take in, the words we speak out. So today I want to focus just on two dynamics. One is the words that come in, and second, the words that go out. Because if words create worlds, it's not only the words that come in that create a world, but it's also the words that come out that create a world. Are you with me this morning? So words in. Goliath, we see that Israel took Goliath's words, and Israel took them into their spirit. Staying with the Old Testament, there's the story of Rahab. Rahab was a prostitute. She decided that she would side with the Israelite armies as they crossed the Jordan and sought to take the promised land. Rahab gets smart and she chooses the right side to side with. But she noticed that the people in her city were frightened out of their skins. The reason they were so frightened was because here's the thing: they'd simply heard that Israel's army was frightening. Their hearts had melted, their feet were trembling, not because of any firsthand experience. The people in Jericho had never seen Israel before, but they were so frightened of the words they had heard about Israel that their spirits were defeated already. And Rahab noticed that, and she chose not to side with those people. Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob was a proper skabanga. Jacob gets cheated by his father-in-law. Long story short, what he does is he puts a scheme in place and he makes his sheep. Now, this is a very strange story. You can go and read this in the book of Genesis. I'm giving you highlights here. Jacob makes his sheep stare at striped poplar sticks that were in the water. And guess what the sheep produced? The sheep produced young that were striped. He made them stare at striped poplar sticks, and they produced striped young babies. They produced what their senses had been saturated in. So it'll be on the screen. The words that we stand in, we absorb. The words that we absorb, we then carry. And the words that we carry, we reproduce. And so we have to be careful what words we stand in. I've told you many times about my grade 5 teacher, Mr. Oh, I actually did not say his name. He's hello, sir, if you're watching. But I've told you how many times how he hit me over the head with a 1 meter ruler, like one of those long sticks, because I couldn't do the handwork, which was basically arts and crafts. And I'll never forget his words. He hit me on the head and he said, "You are so stupid." But I'll never forget, actually preceding that, my grade 2 teacher. She asked us to write an essay one time. And I wrote, I mean, grade 2. So I think she's thinking maybe, you know, you'll get a paragraph or two, you know. I took the assignment and I wrote her a 7-page essay on Robinson Crusoe. And I'll never forget her words when she gets it. I can still actually remember how my writing was so dodgy. But it was 7 pages, and maybe it should have been 5 because the writing was all over the show. But the point is, it was a lot more than what she thought it was going to be, you know. And I'll never forget her words to me afterwards was, she said, "Wow, that's a lot of words. You should speak or you should write, but you should work with words one day." And I stood in those words, just like I also stood in the words of the teacher who told me I'm so stupid. It's amazing. Hey, the words we stand in, we absorb. And so here's the thing. It'll be on the screen. What we let in is what we will believe. And what we let in will shape our spirit. There'll be two visuals on the screen. The first one will be a pink one. I just want you to look at this and read those words for a few moments. Those of you with ADD, keep reading. I thought on our lovely new screen I'd give you something to do with it, you know. Try and read as many words as you can on that screen. All okay? Ready to move on? Now let's get to the next visual. Keep reading. Okay, thanks. Go back to the title slide. How many of you got drawn into the first picture and wanted to keep reading the words? And how many of you saw the second one and thought, oh, those are ugly, I want to stop? Did you sense a difference in how you felt as you read those words? Because even those words on a screen were creating an atmosphere within your life, within my life. So words in, everybody got it? The words we stand in, the words we absorb, the words we take on board are powerful in terms of creating an atmosphere in my life. Let me ask you a question. What words are you standing in? What news are you taking on board? What conversations are you taking on board? What people are you allowing to speak into? What music, what lyrics, what YouTube shorts, what YouTube video, what Insta feeds, what X feeds, what Facebook? Are you with me? I'm hoping today that we'll leave with a new appreciation about the power of words and how words create an atmosphere in our lives. And the words we listen to, the words we hear, are words in. Everybody say words in. And then there's words out. Words out. Those are the words that we speak. So remember I said words create. Words create. The words we take in, but just as importantly, the words that we speak out. The words that we speak out create worlds. They create things in our lives. They create the atmospheres of our lives. It'll be on the screen. I want to give you the statement, and then I want to unpack and maybe teach for a minute or two on why this is so important. Words are seeds that will produce after their own kind. Words are seeds that will produce after their own kind. Now, hang with me here. And let me give you two texts, and then I'll unpack it. Isaiah 57, verse 19. God says, I create the fruit of the lips. God creates what we speak. I create the fruit, the outward manifestation of the words. Now, because God is good, he creates on the good side. The devil distorts on the evil side. But what we say has power because God can bring that into being. Now, that's not an isolated verse. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips. In other words, our lips have fruit. Are you with me? Isaiah 57, verse 19 is telling us that our words produce fruit. Hebrews 13 is telling us that our lips have fruit. Our words have fruit. Proverbs 18, 21, check that out. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The point is that words out produce fruit. So God creates what we speak, and He creates the fruit of our lips. Words produce fruit. There's two beautiful examples of this. I mean, many in Scripture, but I want to just show two today to us. Mark chapter 7, verse 29. This is a Gentile woman, a Syrophoenician lady. She comes to Jesus. Her daughter is possessed by an evil spirit, and she asks Jesus to heal. And Jesus gives her like a bit of a cryptic answer, and he says, it's not right to take the bread on the table and give it to the dogs. Like the children must eat first. And she says, yeah, true, but even the dogs eat the little scraps of bread that fall from the table. She's like, whatever you'll give me, I'll take. Mark 7:29, good answer, he says. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus, in some translations, say, because of your answer, your daughter's been healed. Because of the words that you spoke. You see, I'm coming back to Isaiah 57. God creates the fruit of our lips. Well, this woman had faith. She expressed that faith with her lips. Guess what happened? Her daughter got healed because of the faith of her lips. It's profoundly important. Back to the Old Testament. Israel's about to take the promised land. Moses sends scouts out. He says, go and have a look at the promised land. He sends 12 scouts out. 10 come back with a negative report. 2 come back with a positive report. The only 2 that come back are Joshua and Caleb. They come back with a positive report. And the fruit of their lips is, hey, guess what? This land is great. This land is amazing. We can take this land. This land is wonderful. There's big giants there, but the fruits also, you should check the fruit. You should check the fruit. These. The other 10 are going, guess what happens? Those 10 never go in. Joshua and Caleb are the only 2 that see the promised land. Why? Because the fruit of their... Are you tracking with me today? Numbers 14:28. Check out the result of that account that I was just telling you about the 10 and the 2. Now tell them this. Please, everybody, grab a screenshot of this if you can. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. Isaiah 57:19, remember, it goes back. I create the fruit of the lips. Numbers 14:28, I will do to them the very things I heard you say. God created what they spoke. Church, let's not sit back and let life hit us. We create the atmosphere of our lives. And we do so with our words. Because our words are busy creating a world. And our words produce fruit. So rather, we could say things like Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. We could say words like Philippians 4:19. The same God that takes care of me will make sure that all your needs are taken care of from His glorious riches. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will work out His plans for my life, for your faithful love endures forever. Those who control the words control the atmosphere. Those who control the words control the atmosphere. There's 2 ways to change the atmosphere of our lives with our words. One is with praise, the other way is with prayer. And they are different concepts, and yet they are all part of the same. Praise is prayer, and prayer is praise. But praise is to call attention to the greatness and the glory of God. You might be sitting here quite new to Thrive and wonder, why do we start like with a praise song? You might think praise is about the tempo of the song. The first song's going to be fast, then the second one's going to be mid-tempo, then the third one's going to be slow. No, the first song is praise because we enter His courts with thanksgiving. His gates with praise. That's theologically, we come to God first with praise. To do what? To call attention to His greatness and goodness of His love. Have you ever noticed that even when you come in here as cold as an ice block, you come in here midwinter, freezing cold, having had the worst week, the atmosphere of our life starts to change after the praise song. Even if you don't feel like it, and you go, why is the worship leader so energetic? He must be faking it. Well, possibly he is, because he realizes that the atmosphere of his life is also better when he starts to praise. You with me? There's a reason why the atmosphere of our life starts to change when we praise. How do you change the atmosphere of your life? How do you create a world with your words, prayer, and praise? Talking to Him. Creating intimacy with Him. Inviting Him into those spaces of our lives. Telling Him what's going on in our lives. Asking Him to touch areas of our lives. Lamenting areas of our lives to Him. That's all part of prayer, but prayer is always coupled with praise. And so you could think of it this way. Let me give it to you this way. Praise is about God. Prayer is about us. And when we mix the two together, that's what creates intimacy. We start with the atmosphere of our lives by praising. We say, God, it's You first. It's You first. I want to give You praise. I want to give You glory. I want to ascribe greatness and glory to You first before we talk about me. And what happens is by the time we start to talk about me, the atmosphere of our life is different. Are you with me today? Words create worlds. Those who control the words control the atmosphere. Now, we've spoken about words in. Everybody say words in. And we've spoken about words out. So say words out. But the thing about words in and words out is that they're linked, aren't they? In other words, you can never speak words of faith unless you've received words of faith. What goes in and what comes out are linked. So, so, so important. Could my three volunteers please come on up? Please give them a warm, warm welcome. We've got Alyssa, Kayla, and Josh. So while they come up, let me just say this. We can't sow seeds of faith. We can't speak an atmosphere of faith through the words that we speak unless we've had some faith put into us. Unless we've had some seeds put into us. Unless we've absorbed some words from an atmosphere of faith. That's why church and gathering together, life group, even though your huddles and your serving teams, that's why that stuff's important, because you're having some seeds of faith put into you. So the point that I want to make is what goes in comes out. What goes in comes out. Now, here we have a pack of fishermen's friends. Does everybody remember fishermen's friends? How many of you know these things are power? If you've got a meeting and you need your breath to smell, shup, shup, fisherman's friends. This is so hard to choose. Okay, we're going to alternate for the second service. Okay. I've given Kayla two fisherman's friends. Please start to suck them, chew them, whatever you'd like to do. Just three here, Kayla. Here we have some Pex and Chevette. Anybody remember Pex and Chevette? Otherwise known as fish base. Now, how many of you would agree that fish base is the exact opposite of a fisherman's friend? They only have a fish in their title, but that's about the only similarity. Would you agree? Got it. Listen. We're changing that for second service, don't worry. Please, Lissy, have a little spoon of fish paste. Please. Keep, Kayla's sucking the fisherman's friends. Do you need another one, Kayla? They look very nice. Look. Lissy, are you done? Just another little one, if you wouldn't mind. Just a quick one. Just a quick one. Okay. Oh. Yeah, no, a bit more, Lissy. It's got to work. A bit more. Okay. Now, he's standing here all innocent. He's about to get involved in the act. Joshy, please come this side for me if you wouldn't mind. And just put your nose about here. And Kayla's going to breathe.
I'm breathing.
Yeah, yeah. Good. Okay. I should have blindfolded you. I forgot. Okay. Come around this way. Now, come around the other way. So that's like that way. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now bring it nice and close. Nice and close, man. Taz won't mind. Come. Okay. Let's see. Give him a proper. He's already coughing. Okay. Joshy, which did you prefer? Fresh and fail. Would you agree? What went in was fresh. What came out was fresh. What went in was fishy. And what came out was... Ames, please give her some water. This poor year. Oh, and a mint, yeah. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You can just pop that down there. Thanks, Lissy. Thanks, Kayla. Okay, so... Object lessons, the reason we do them is just because you'll have that memory. You'll remember that example. We always remember examples. You will be thinking about poor Alyssa's face as she had to digest that in. Sometimes the words in can be hard to digest, but the point is when negative words come into us, the point is they can come out of us as well. And instead of tasting like a fisherman's friend, we taste fishy. We smell fishy. The atmosphere of our lives smells fishy. Can I recap for us this morning? Yeah. Words create worlds. And what we let in is what we will start to believe. What we let in will shape our spirit. The words that we stand in, we will absorb. The words that we absorb, we'll start to carry. And so it's vital that we pay attention to the atmosphere of the words coming in. What we speak out is just as vital, because words produce fruit. Every word we speak, church, is a seed into the atmosphere that we're creating. Those who control the words control the atmosphere. And so words create worlds. Let's consciously decide to pay close attention to the words that we speak out. Let's begin to change the diet of the words we speak out so that the vast majority of what we begin to speak out is hope-filled, as opposed to hopeless, full of faith as opposed to faithless, life-giving as opposed to harmful, encouraging as opposed to discouraging, thoughtful as opposed to thoughtless, and helpful words as opposed to words that create a sense of helplessness. And as we do so, let's see the atmosphere of our lives start to change. Would you stand with me this morning? And I wondered if we could maybe just respond this morning a little bit in two ways. The first is perhaps just personally where you are. Maybe you want to begin to talk to God where you are, just around the own the diet of words that you've allowed in through your Insta feeds or through whatever. And begin to speak to God and just to determine. But it's got to be a determination that's followed up with action. A determination is no point unless it's followed up with an action. A determination, maybe even a repentance to say, I'm sorry for the diet that I've been consuming. You know? And begin to pray even now. You could take a moment, close your eyes. You could sit, you could kneel, you could lift your hands to heaven, you could do whatever it is that you want to do in this space this morning. And maybe, second way to respond is maybe you want to begin to speak to the Lord, and I want to invite you to do this about the words that you've spoken. So your words out. It's not only the words in, it's your words out. And begin to think through what those words out have been. Maybe there's somebody that you want to say sorry to, somebody you want to apologize to. Maybe you've got your spouse next to you or a friend next to you. Maybe after the service, you want to just say a few words to them. And say, sorry if my words have been harmful, hurtful, destructive. This is a moment just for us to do business with God. Begin to speak to the Lord about the world that your words are creating, the atmosphere that your words are creating, not only the words that you've taken in, but the words that you've spoken out. Words in, words out. Now, it's just a way of solidifying that and just a practical way of almost physically embodying that, physically taking that on board. I want to invite you to breathe in deeply. And as you do so, say to the Lord, the words in, Lord, I want to pay closer attention to. And now take a deep breath out. Lord, I determine with your help and by your Holy Spirit's power to begin to form new words, to begin to form a new diet of words, to begin to tip the balance in favor of life-giving, faith-filled, hopeful, positive, promise-laden words. While every single one of us is in a moment and an atmosphere of prayer, right where you are right now, nobody moving around, I'm just going to ask for us to be very still. Scripture is so clear that it is with the confession of our mouth and the belief of our heart, both of those things, that we come to know Christ. This morning, if you've never known Christ, I am going to help you use words to begin to change the spiritual atmosphere of your life. And it starts in your heart, my heart, and that decision ends with the words that I then speak out. And so I'm going to ask you, firstly, in just a moment, I'll do a count to three. If you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, it is the greatest, most significant, most meaningful, destiny-changing, future-altering decision that any man and woman can make to give our lives to Jesus, to begin to follow Jesus. I'm going to ask you, those of you who need to do this, to decide that in your heart and to make a decision in your heart. And on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand to indicate your decision. And then I'm going to lead you in a moment of prayer that will be the words of your mouth. If you want to make a decision this morning to follow Jesus, it'll be my privilege to lead you in the best moment of your life. On the count of three, would you slip up your hand nice and high, nice and quick so I can see it? I'll say thank you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you come to the front. I'm simply going to see your hand wherever you are, up in the balcony, on the ground level. I'm going to say thank you, and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Ready? On the count of three. Here we go. One, two, three. Hands up across this place. Thank you. Thank you. Up in the balcony, on the ground level, front to back. Thank you. Left and right. Thank you. So many hands going. Thank you. Thank you. Up in the balcony. Guys, I see you. Thank you so much. At the back, sir, I see you. Thank you. Thank you. Every hand that's up, I see your hand. Thank you. Come, church, let's pray together. Every single one of us who is making that decision for the first time today can be helped, because church is an identity. It's not a location. So come, church, every one of us, Thrive, let's pray. So, Father God, thank you so much for your love for me, for us. Jesus, thank you that you lived for me. and died for me. Jesus, thank you that today I can follow you. Make a decision to follow you, to give you my life, to make you Lord, and trust you for my salvation. Holy Spirit, come into my life as I ask you to forgive me in Jesus' name. Everybody in this beautiful 8:30 service said, amen. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.